Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening, and it's good to be able to bring the message this evening. This evening's lesson will be coming out of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, it's kind of a lengthy reading, but we're just going to break it down this evening, but I will read the whole thing. Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 26. And this was Jesus before Pilate. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So then, when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." In verse 24, when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See that to yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. So in this lesson, the title is Pilate's Decision. Pilate's Decision. In this lesson, we're going to learn that each of us can choose Jesus. We will also see that Pilate listened to the people rather than his heart and what he was being told. So just looking at we'll just break the verses down. In verse 11 there, this Jesus gave an answer after he was asked a question. He was asked the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" You know, right there, he could have denied and said no. But this was not in God's plan. You know, in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, the Bible reads, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." You know, it's okay to plan, but we must remember that God is the only one who knows our future and what's in store for us. But our main future for us is a hope in heaven as long as we are found faithful. You know, Jesus answered, "It is as you say." So we see Pilate a little puzzled here why Jesus answered the way he did. You know, and later on, knowing what might await Jesus. Point number two will come out of chapter 27 there in verses 12 through 14. And this is Pilate's concern. It says, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" Jesus did not say anything to the chief priests or elders, but when he was being accused, but he was carrying out God's plan. Even though the things that were being said about him, they were terrible. They were terrible things. People did not know what they were doing to Jesus. Pilate was questioning Jesus about what others were saying about him. And again, Jesus did not answer him about a single charge. But the governors were amazed. At this point, Pilate was doubting those things that were being said about Jesus. He was doubting. Third thing this evening comes out of verses 15 and 16. And this is the feast. The governor was to release one prisoner whom the people wanted. And you know, they were holding a prisoner with the name of Barabbas. Well, Barabbas was known as a murderer and a robber. But he was a famous prisoner. This man did not need to be back in the public again, especially for being a murderer. But they were going to be given a choice. You know, we get to choose, just like they did. You know, we can choose Jesus or not. You know, that's the question throughout this whole lesson this evening. Whom do you choose, the crowd or Jesus? What has the crowd done for us? You know, well, the crowd lives worldly. They live worldly. What has Jesus done for us? Well, he gave his life for us. Without his sacrifice, we have no forgiveness of sins, and we can be forever grateful for that. He loves each and every one of us. Point number four this evening, Matthew chapter 27, verse 17. The crowd was asked, who do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? You know, and Pilate gave them a choice, and they wanted an innocent man to be killed. You know, envy is the reason they were doing this. They handed Jesus over because of envy. Well, in Webster's definition, envy is to feel uneasiness, mortification, or discontent at the sight of superior excellence, reputation, or happiness enjoyed by another. So because of envy, they handed Jesus over. Envy can make us do things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we can compare ourselves to others and think that we are worthy of those things that others might have, but we should be content with what we have. You know, Paul said it best in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the Bible reads, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Contentment is the key to this life. We are blessed beyond all measure. We must be thankful for what we have. We brought nothing into this world, and we're taking nothing out when this life is over. We must stay away from envy. The next thing is Pilate got a message. Pilate got a message. The message came from his wife. The message was about Jesus. he said his wife sent him a message about Jesus, and it's a message that he should have listened to. She said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. You know, and I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." So his wife knew this man Jesus was innocent, and she feared him. She feared him. We need messages like that sometimes to remind us who he is and what he has done for us. He did not deserve a cruel death. Our sins put Jesus on the cross, so we owe him a life of servitude. The next thing comes out of verses 20 and 21, and this is the chief priest's persuasion. They were persuading to let Barabbas go and to put Jesus to death. You know, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, the Bible reads, Jesus had a forgiving nature. He had a forgiving nature, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So even in death, he had that forgiving nature. But after all the pain and anguish he was going through, he spoke those words. Are we that forgiving towards others, or do we have bad feelings toward those who wrong us for many years and hold a grudge? But Jesus taught us many things, but we sometimes need reminders on how to live. But the governor asked, which two do I release? They wanted Barabbas. They wanted Barabbas. We must remember that was basically an angry mob that was getting out of hand. And this mob wanted a murderer turned loose and wanted to kill this Jesus who is our Savior. The next thing comes out of verses 22 and 23. The crowd said, crucify him. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels as we sing the song. He could have called 10,000 angels, but one part of the song crucify him, he's to blame. The crowd could have had Jesus just put in prison, but they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. You know, Pilate had a change of heart. He asked, you know, what evil has this man done? What evil has he done? Pilate knew something was different about this man, Jesus. His wife even told him to have nothing to do with him. These people just kept shouting, crucify him. You know, if we don't follow Jesus, then we are in the crowd as these people were. You know, it's not good to follow the crowd. It could make us lose our home in heaven if we're not careful. It's not easy to take a stand because sometimes it may not be the popular thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. These people were acting like little kids who don't get their way. They were throwing fits. And we find out in a bit that they got what they wanted. You know, Satan has a hold on the. He had a hold on the, on these people who wanted Jesus crucified. He had a hold on them. You know, he can also have a hold on us. Satan is the father of lies. John chapter 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, he can manipulate us, and he's also crafty. He's also the god of this world. He's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We have many who turn away from the truth and try to please self or please others. You know, our sole purpose is to please God. And that's all that matters, is that we please God. Doesn't matter about pleasing self. It's all about pleasing God. You know, there are those who Satan blinds them from seeing the truth. Satan blinds them from seeing the truth. But John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32, very familiar verses. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed then, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How can we know the truth? Well, by studying his word and applying it. By studying his word and applying it. We can't just be hearers only. The next thing comes out of verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, verse 24. And this is Pilate. He wanted to wash his hands. He wanted no part of this. He wasn't accomplishing anything, but he did not want a riot to start either. But the water he used was to wash his hands of the whole matter. He wanted no part of it. How often do we push things under the rug? You know, we can't hide things from God. We cannot hide things from God. He knows the good and the bad that we do. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Verse 14, for God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whatever is good or evil. You know, Pilate wanted to be innocent of this man's blood. He wanted to be innocent of this man's blood, but he couldn't be innocent because he could have done something about it, but he didn't. You know, he talked about it, but done nothing. You know, how often do we know what we should do, but don't do it? Sometimes that happens. Pilate knew that this Jesus was innocent, but he chose to go with the crowd. But only thought he had nothing to do with it. He had plenty to do with it because he didn't speak up for the sake of Christ. You know, are we afraid to speak where the Bible speaks? The Bible is very clear on how we are to live as Christians. It's up to us to follow through with those things, and we are because we are showed in the Scriptures. We can't be afraid to stand up for the sake of Christ. Paul did this to the very end of his life. We too have that same opportunity. Now verses 25 and 26 of Matthew chapter 27. And this is the release of Barabbas. The people did get what they wanted. They got Barabbas. They had Jesus scourged, then to be crucified. And the scourging was a flog and a whip. It was an instrument for whipping and flogging. Romans often used a short whip with leather straps in which were embedded pieces of metal or bone designed to tear the flesh of the victim. You know, this paints a picture for us of some of the suffering Jesus went through for us. You know, he did it because he loves us. He did it because he loves us. Jesus went on to be crucified, but we must know that Pilate did make a decision, and he was not innocent by far. He could have done something about it. We have the same choice today. What will you do with Jesus? Many choose to go with the crowd, and if we don't stand with Jesus, we are in the crowd. Like those were who wanted Barabbas, you know, and they turned Barabbas loose instead of turning Jesus loose. You know, the beating Jesus took was for each and every one of us. We remember his cruel death every first day of the week. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. He did this to bring souls to the kingdom. We will not be able to convert everyone we come in contact with, but we can sure try. We can sure try. Psalm 103 and verse 13, the Bible reads, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And also in Psalm 135 and verse 14, "For the Lord will judge his people and will have compassion on his servants." We are servants of Christ if we have been baptized. We must do as Christ wants us to do, and see what is needed to be done to bring others to Christ. Psalm 31 and verse 16, the Bible reads, "Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness." You know, as Christians, we have plenty to do. There's much work to do. Matthew chapter 25, verses, and we're going to look at three verses here. Matthew chapter 25, this is the parable of the talents. And we'll start in verse 23. Matthew 25, verse 23. "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Now we go on down to verse 26. "But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed.'" Now in verse 30, going down to verse 30. "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This ought to make us want to be busy for the sake of Christ. Wicked, lazy slave. Is that what we want said about us? You know, it's just a thought. We want to be found faithful. We want those words, "Well done, good and faithful slave." And we can't wait to hear those words. Jesus taught us so many things, and yet we sometimes take those things for granted, and we take what he done for us for granted as well. He gave his life for us. He made that ultimate sacrifice, even though we didn't deserve it. We could probably all say that we could be a better Christian. Saying and doing it is two different things. But we must do that. We must, in other words, just saying it, we need to do it. You know, if we need to that change in our life, it's an attitude that we must change. God wants us to be that change. He wants us to be that change. Others need to see Christ in us. Others need to see Christ in us. They need to see it in our attitude. They need to see it in our actions. And they need to see it in our words. You know, we need compassion for those around us. It's easy to get bogged down in our own lives, but we must seek to do for others. We must be thankful for the opportunities we have to tell others the good news. Psalm 79 and verse 13. Psalm 79 and verse 13. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. Then in Psalm 86 and verse 12. Psalm 86 and verse 12. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. Without Jesus' sacrifice, we would not have forgiveness of sins. We should be forever thankful for his willingness to die on our behalf. Jesus set the tone for us, so we must follow his example, and so we can be like him each and every way. So are you with the crowd, or do you choose Jesus this evening? Hopefully we choose Jesus. The crowd will get us in trouble. The choice is ours today. We remember he bore our sins on the cross, so we have a hope in heaven someday. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? Or have you done that but need to renew that relationship with him? If you are a Christian and you've struggled in your life, or if you aren't a Christian and you need to be baptized this evening for the remission of your sins, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.